guys. Welcome to the Instant Adventurers podcast and all DM podcasts of 5th edition. I'm your DM, Shannon Frank, and joining me tonight are my fellow DMs.
Alright, so Matt, I'm playing Silen, a half-elven wizard of the School of Divination. So Silen spent the last few years studying, and with the introduction of the Adventurers Guild, has decided to see the world and do wonderful things.
So, I'm Alex. I am playing Felix Rayner. He is a folk hero cleric, a Tempest cleric. He was sort of more or less forced into adventuring against his will when an enormous thunderstorm started attacking his hometown. So, he gave himself up to the god Krol in order to spare the lives of his fellow villagers.
Hey, I'm Lungs. I'm playing Verde, a naive and excitable wood elven moon druid from an unnamed ruined elven town deep in the mountains. She spent a fairly long time in a forest sort of getting to know the various natural things of the world, and was visited by a strange entity who gave her a mission to go back into civilization and learn what she could.
Hi, I'm Michael. I'm playing Grug. Given from his name, you could probably tell that he is a half-orc barbarian. He is a wanderer from Clan Bloodaxe and searches for glory and battle.
I don't think there's much more to add to that, to be honest. Just to give you guys some background, so the party has come from all over the land, having heard tales of an adventurer's guild, so recently established by the new ruler of the land. They've travelled individually to the capital of Valmorgan, our largest city in the land, all seeking their fortunes. Now, this is a homebrew world, and we'll be using several custom rules as of that. If you do hear something that doesn't quite match up to the rules, please don't jump down my throat. Or it will be explained as needed as it arises. Alright, so just to recap what has happened so far for obviously those joining us. You guys, as I said, you've all arrived in the city of Valmorgan, having travelled from all over, having several adventures along the way. After arriving, you did a quick little job for the Adventurers Guild, travelling into the city sewers and dispatching some rat-like humanoids that were dwelling down there and stealing gnomish children. You've since returned to the tavern that operates as the guild's headquarters, the Sovereign's Head. Have spent the night there after receiving your payment and talking with the guild owner, Zolem Flashheart, who's leader of the Adventurers Guild. Well-to-do fellow with a blue tunic and gold trim, fine pants, well-made boots with a long grey beard and his hair tied up. He has a very flamboyant attitude. So you awaken the next morning, having come down from your lodgings in the Sovereign's Head. The tavern itself is separated into two segments, where the upper area, kind of almost like a VIP area, is where most of the adventurers spend their time. There are a few down here at the moment, and then you've got the lower section where your average commoners come to drink, eat, and be merry. So you guys are sitting up in the top quarter. After coming down, you've been told by an attendant of Flash Hearts that he's busily getting the contract ready for your next job. If you just wait here, you know, grab some food, refreshments, whatever you want to do, we'll be over to address you shortly. It's at this time, you're probably sitting around the table, you hear the door to the tavern open, and in steps a rather, how would you describe yourself, Lungs?
You see a slightly below average height figure clad in all sorts of various shades of green and brown, leathers, cloths, just sort of this, like, horribly mismatched elven woman. She has, like, a short, below sort of her ears, brown hair, frame of the face, and a almost continual look of wonder as she steps in and just takes in everything that she can.
A few common folk sort of give her a glance, but most don't pay in their mind. They're all pretty used to strange folk coming through these tavern doors.
As they see that druid walk in, they're also going to notice a familiar big hulking shadow come in as well, just clutching his head, slight throbbing from whatever happened while he was asleep last night.
Grug spent the evening in the gnomish quarter after being bludgeoned over the head while unconscious.
By his teammates.
That didn't go as planned. Sorry about that.
What are you apologizing for? Grug doesn't know what happened.
And Grug make his way directly to the table.
Imagine Lungs Verde would have kind of sort of been taking in the atmosphere as you suddenly feel yourself sort of like pushed aside as this hulking figure like walks past you with clutching his head, which you can see has a very visible lump.
Are you alright?
I'm actually going to roll perception here to see if Grug would have noticed that. No, he wouldn't have noticed that. That was a very quiet voice. He would have just gone straight for the stairs.
Alright, so Grug pushes on past. Yeah, you locate your compadres pretty quickly sitting at a nearby wooden table and join them in one of the vacant seats.
Welcome home, Grug. You look a bit worse for wear.
Grug feel like some coward hit Grug over the head while Grug asleep.
Oh no, that would have been the gnome pulling you out into the street, I would imagine. We heard him dragging you out as we were leaving.
Freaking tiny races.
Yeah. Can I get your drink?
Will drink be Grug size this time? Last drink was tiny.
Sure. And I'm going to get up from the table and walk over to the bar and just say to whoever's behind the bar, can I please have 3 ales? One of them as big as you can give me. Like, do you have a bucket? Like a spare bucket?
The female gnomish bartender who's standing on top of the table sort of gives you an odd look. And then sort of sees the hulking figure of Grug sitting by the table, nods understandingly.
It's for that guy. I'll pay whatever it costs, just make sure it's full to the brim.
Rolls her eyes and gives you a, I'll bring it over soon, look. Meanwhile, Verde is sort of standing there, looking a bit lost in the doorway. You notice a balding figure wearing a breastplate and has a sword clasped on one side. He seems to be standing next to the stairway up to the upper raised area. Seems to be giving you the eye, sort of like examining you. He tries to catch your attention and beckons you over.
I will walk over with a cocked head and a...
He says, you look lost, love.
It's my first time in town, actually.
Oh yeah, you look a bit, look like you just walked out of the woods. can I do something for you? You looking for someone?
Is this the Adventurer's Guild?
You come to the right place. You looking to join? You look like the type.
I am, actually. This is perfect. It's the first time I've ever gone to the right place in the first try.
Oh, I tell you what, I know that for sure. Flash Art's the one you need to talk to. He'll be around soon. Give me a sec. I'll grab him and swings by. Just take a seat upstairs and I'll bring him over.
Thank you.
I'm going to go wandering back to the table and just start rifling through my medicine kit until I find some willow bark. And I'm just going to tentatively slide it over the table towards Grug. That'll help your head.
Grug's just going to grab it and just stare at the human inquisitively. And then just shove it in his mouth and start eating it and just say, dry.
It usually has that effect.
As you're contemplating the dry texture, rather rough-looking speckled-haired gnome that Zolam constantly refers to as Jeffrey emerges carrying struggling, carrying a bucket with a sloshing amber liquid contained within, and he sort of struggles and plops it up into the table in front of Grog.
Grog's gonna look down at Jeffrey and go, just start going into it.
As you like hoist up the bucket, Jeff flinches away and then scuttles back to the bar.
I didn't pay. Okay.
I'd like to state how I'm drinking it is I'm just literally sloshing it down, so it is spilling out. Poor Joffrey's getting hit before he left.
Alright, Verna, you watch this hulking mass of muscle begin chugging a bucket, and it begins sloshing over the floor and flowing over the floorboards down through the cracks.
I will walk over and say, how can you drink so much of that?
The smell, it's very obviously ale, though perhaps has a bit of a different scent to the one you tried in the city of Grovoktat. The dwarven ale there was a bit had quite a unique smell to it.
We're just gonna pause for a breath, let out a satisfied burp.
Sure, it tastes awful, doesn't it?
I have to agree with you.
Drink, food's food. If you complain about it, you never get food.
Well, hi, my name's Felix. Very nice to meet you. What's your name?
Hello, Felix. I'm Verde. I am here to join the Adventurers Guild.
Oh, okay. Wow. So what is it that you do?
Well, I fought an ogre, and then a dwarf wanted to fight me. I said no.
Oh, okay. An ogre?
Yeah. He attacked us. We had to protect the horse, you see.
Right. Just going to smile well and nod, not understanding a single thing that she's saying.
As you said, ogre, it's going to attract Grog's attention. He goes, oh,
small being like you fought an ogre? How was it? Was it hand-to-hand?
Well, I bit out his throat. It was, it didn't taste very good either.
Grog remembers his first taste of ogre throat.
You had it too?
Yes. You hunt what you can. Keeps tribes strong.
Wait, you hunted an ogre for
food.
Yes.
As Grug goes to explain, you hear from across the room, you there, Big Bad! The rather flashy figure of Zolama struts over in his fine boots and blue tunic. I thought I'd find you here, quaffing ale. Looks down at the bucket. I see you've already started. Well, I suppose get down to business then. I have your new contract, and as he goes to pull it out, he sees Verna. Are you with them?
Well, I just got here, and I was looking to join, but...
Ah, splendid, splendid. Well, just have a seat. Gestures to a seat at their table.
Awkwardly go and sit cross-legged on top of it.
Well, now that we're all here, before we continue, if you're wishing to enjoy, sort of turns to the druid, you're wishing to join the Adventurers Guild, I must, of course, go through the necessary processes before we continue. He sort of pulls another scroll and unfurls it. This is just your generic adventurer's contract. Just outlines the various clauses and exceptions. It's typical, the Adventurers Guild's not responsible for any disembowelment, incineration, evisceration, so forth and so such. Just sign at the bottom and a standard 6-month contract, and we'll get you underway.
I'd love to. Just one question.
Yes, anything.
How do I sign? What is
it? Oh, well, you just put your mark at the bottom of the page there.
Oh, all right. And he will wild shape into a wolf and begin to make her mark on the bottom of the contract.
Oh, God! Oh, no! Oh, please, Grug. Please! Oh, God!
Grug is losing it. He approves very much of this new one. She's fought an ogre and now pisses on the worthless paper.
As the urine begins to soak into the pages, Zolana quickly grabs it and sort of like flicks it on. Well, that's quite an interesting little trick you've got there. Well, let me... God, it's everywhere. She goes to roll it up, and as he touches, like, oh, it's warm. I'm sure that will do. We'll skip with the formalities. I'll get it some other time.
I'm so sorry.
It's quite all right. Joffrey, clean up around here, please. Bring a mop. And the gnome kind of looks over and is like, ugh. He's like, not again. Goes and grabs a mop and bucket and begins hurriedly trying to slosh around the chair, being most courteous as to not disturb your seating. Back to business then. Well, as I mentioned, I procured you another bounty. Bit of an odd one, really. There's a small village away from here by the name of Treecrest, just up near the Trilden Woods. Now, they've had a bit of an odd request. It appears to be being attacked by some kind of a lumbering beast, coming in and stealing folk during the day and night, as though they sort of wander off into the wild, doing their thing, go for a walk or something, and never return. A few people have said they've seen a giant of sorts. No giants have been seen around these parts for quite some time. Anyway, the bounty is to go to the village, have a look out at what's going on over there, and see if we can get to the bottom of it. This is about the third request they've sent in this week, unfortunately, and I've reluctantly decided to finally grant them their request. We've got a lot of pressing issues right now. I'll have some more jobs for you when we get back, as you can understand. There's quite a few of us to hand out contracts to at the moment. It sort of points around to the near-empty tavern. Yes, very busy! Here's the details. It sort of unfurls another scroll and hands it to you. Reading, if you have a quick read through it, it's basic contracts states that you have to travel to the village of Treequest, assist them with ridding themselves of a giant in quotation marks. And oh, and the contract will be fulfilled once the elder there, a man named Norman, has been satisfied.
Okay, so how far away did you say this was?
Village Treequest, not too far, let's see. From here, probably about two days of our travel, just near the Trilden Woods.
I suppose we should maybe buy some food and travel supplies. Is there anything that any of you need? I'll look around the group.
I actually do need to procure some inks for my scholarly work.
Why buy food? Just hunt, make you strong.
Well, I mean, in most cases I would agree with you there, but we might be a little bit pressed for time, so if we have the food at the ready, then we won't have to hunt in the evenings or kill anything.
that his form shifts and buckles as she returns to her olden form and says, "Well, I can help with food. You don't have to send away our precious Chinese."
As you as you like reform back into it, he's like, "Oh god, that's quite repulsive." The way your joints like snap and pop back into place is quite. Look, for future, if you wouldn't mind doing that outside for the sake of the other patrons, maybe in the back where no one else can see you, keep that stuff to yourself, you know. A lot of folk are not around here, not very understanding of, sort of looks you up and down, the more wilder ways, as it were.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize that people like that.
Grog's going to put his hand on her shoulder and say, "Don't mind him. A lot of city folk, very weak."
I have noticed that, actually. There's quite a lot of people who don't really do much, is there?
Zolo kind of sits there, like, mildly insulted. Well, then, I guess that concludes our business. As you have the contract, I assume you can undertake it at your own terms. There's no time limit on this one, per se, but the sooner the better. I'd rather not get more letters from them, if you know what I mean. It adds up more paperwork and all that. Well, very busy. I'll pop off.
Before you go, what is the financials of this?
It's all detailed at the bottom there.
Give a read over it and see what the financials are.
Typical quest of this sort. As we can't confirm this giant, we can't appropriately reward for that particular. So at the moment, it's just a standard reward of 200 gold pieces, assuming there is you can find proof and slay it.
Okay, and what sort of compensation would we expect should we travel our 2 days out to this village and find there isn't a giant?
The village will pay you at least half of whatever bounty has been placed on it, assuming you complete the contract and there is such a thing as a giant.
Okie doke, sounds good to me.
If there's no other questions, I'll leave you to it.
Grug's gonna straight away just stand up, you know, bump into the table, the whole thing shifts. Yeah, you know, he's gonna grab his axe and put his hand on Felix and say, "Come, we fight a giant, you lead." Pushing Felix out the door.
I didn't pay for the drinks. And
as you exit, you hear from behind, "Joffrey, clean up this mess. This place is a pigsty."
Well, Verde, shall we go then, as they say?
I suppose. Then we just got to camp, but I guess we're leaving.
Yes. If you want more of those shiny things that you seem to so like, I'll have to leave now.
They're so pretty.
Well, you venture out into the bustling streets of the city square of Almorgan. Make your way down the main road to the city gates. You're leaving out of the main easterly gate, which is pretty much the one, probably the one that you would have come in on. You'd be somewhat familiar with the route you took in. Busy streets, though, so it's fairly easy to get turned around if you're not following the signs. So you make your way down from the city square, past the dump and the Guild Avenue. Easy streets, which is home to the Elvish Quarter and the gambling halls, past the temples. And eventually you reach the outer gate and into the farmlands and fields beyond. Setting off from Valmorgan and passing through the farmlands and pastures that form the boundary between the city and the Treldon Woods, you begin at making your way on an easterly direction. Are you still carrying around the sack of goblin heads?
I am indeed.
Grug, is there a safe place that you might be able to keep those?
They are safe, they're on Grug.
Exactly.
But, I mean, you're not wrong, but, I mean, it is just a little bit, it's a tiny bit distracting. And might imply a threatening tone to any strangers we might meet along the road.
I'm just gonna just grab the sack, look at it, and then just push it into Felix's chest and keep walking.
Oh, help me. Okay, so I now have the bag of heads.
I'm not gonna lie, I literally just dry read.
Yeah, so did I, just a little bit.
Mr. Felix? Oh.
Huh? Yes? Hi?
Why does Grug have a bag full of goblin heads?
I'm afraid to ask.
It's a long story.
Would you like to do something to them? And I'm going to try and thrust them into her hands. Please?
Okay.
Thank you. I'm just going to start wiping my hands. There's like some grungy blood like leaking out.
She will use Druidcraft to try and, I guess, like speed along the decomposing.
Using Druidcraft to kind of speed up the decomposition, the blackish skin that remained starts to dissolve into kind of putrid sludge. at the bottom and leaving the skulls revealed. Bag is dripping. But eventually it kind of all leaves the bag and you're left with the cleaned skulls.
Did you want to keep these?
Grug?
Yeah?
Our new friend has done something really nice to your little goblin heads.
Mr. Grug, did you want to keep these? Or?
Yes, they're good for throwing.
That's so good.
Verde will sort of awkwardly hold the sack out.
Grug will grab with now dripping juices.
As you continue along, the sort of terrain you're passing through is relatively flat. It starts sort of turning into low hills. You can still see the occasional farmstead and stuff off in the distance on the road that you're travelling on. Road that links Morgan and the city of Mayhew, which is probably about 4 or 5 days away. It's known as the Sovereign's Road. It's fairly well maintained. It's a sort of like a cobblestone highway of sorts. It's pretty wide as well, wide enough for sort of two wagons to pass either side. Off to your sort of southwesterly, you can make out what looks like the Treldon Woods rising off into the distance and continuing for some way. And the first part of your journey goes by relatively uneventfully. You left in the morning, and so by the time dusk begins to fall, you come across what looks like a small corpse of trees that would make a suitable campsite for the evening.
I will start setting up a fire, and I'll pull out my cooking pot, throwing some ingredients in, brewing up a stew.
Do you mean take off your cooking pot?
You know what? I think it's canon now that I actually just have, like, a pot with a handle on it on my head.
I mean, that's what I asked when you first introduced your character, and you did say yes.
Oh. Okay, well, that's...
I mean, that's what I meant now when I said pot helmet.
So you guys are going to set up camp.
I'll turn to Verde and just say, you said something about helping out with food?
Yes. Here. And she reaches into a small sort of leather pouch at her side and sort of rummages for a second. Eventually, you see like a warm green glow sort of just like warm out from the pouch. And she withdraws her hands. She's holding 10 slightly larger than like a coin-sized berries. They're purple and very juicy.
Wow. Yeah.
They look like purple grapes, but they're like the size of an apple.
Oh, wow. This is interesting.
They're very tasty, and they will, you know, keep you going for the day.
Grug's gonna take one. It's tiny. Look at the druid and at Felix. He'll eat it, stand there for like 5 seconds, and then just walk off saying, hunting.
Grug does what Grug does, and we'll just carry on stirring the pot.
Shall I do a survival roll to hunt?
So, for those who are unaware, I'm not using skills in the traditional sense. I am using ability scores. So, in the place of skills, an ability score would be used instead, and then I, as the DM, decide whether proficiency can be added for that. So, yeah, go ahead. In this case, it would be a wisdom check, and you can add your proficiency to it.
That was a 12.
12? All right, no worries. It takes you probably, let's see... There's not a huge amount of game in this area, but it takes you about 2 hours or so, but you do manage to hunt a couple of small rabbits.
Cool. Kind of just, you know, hastily skin and gut them, shove a stick through them, and then cook them over a fire. Grug is going to grab one of the... How many did you say I found?
2.
Grug's is going to throw the other one at Felix.
Oh, okay. And I'm just going to start carving it up with the knife and dropping them into the stew and just boiling them over the pot.
No worries. Give me a... We'll call it a... Intelligence? Yeah, we'll call it intelligence for cooking.
Okie doke.
How proficient are you in cooking utensils?
I did pick as one of the tool proficiencies, cooked utensils. So.
Okay, yeah, no, you can add your proficiency then, that's fine.
Cool, so that is a 17.
It's a pretty killer stew.
And I'll serve it up in some bowls and pass them around to everyone and just say, I used to do a lot of cooking on the farm, so I hope you like it. It's nothing fancy, but...
Thank you very much. Looking forward to this.
Something like sharing a meal between friends, right?
Absolutely.
As you say that, just in the background, Grug's just... It's slightly raw still, so it's just really stretchy meat.
Instantly gets flashbacks to you gnawing on the gnome, bone of a gnome child. Okay.
Why is he eating my brother? So as you settle in for the evening, did you want to set a watch?
Yeah, I'll take first watch, if that's okay with everyone.
Yes, that's what you want to do, by all means.
Okay. Grug will nod prettily and then just go find a rock or a tree just to lay against.
It is already curled up in front of a tree. No bedroll, no like preparation, hand on the floor.
Nature's bed.
I'm just going to sit next to the fire and start poking it with a stick and do that for the next couple of hours.
All right.
Overhear the pleasant sounds of Grug snoring.
Right. And who are you waking up after your watch?
I will wake up silent.
Okay. And Silent, who are we going to take for third watch?
I will wake up Grug.
Alright, so I usually only do evenings in like lots of three.
I will risk waking up Grug.
Okay, no worries. Alright, no worries. Felix, give me a wisdom check with your for your watch.
Natural one.
You spend the evening staring into the flames, and you get quite lost in their mesmerize as the fire dances. You hear you're snapped out of it momentarily as you hear a wolf off in the distance howling at the moon, and your watch comes to the end.
Okay, let's not tell anyone about that, and I'll just go and walk over to Silent and shake him awake by the foot.
Oh, is it my turn, is it?
Yep.
Anything you've seen?
Yeah, so I saw a wolf running past. That was cool. I'm just clearly bullshitting.
Did you scare it off then?
Sure, yeah. I made some light spells appear and ran off and got frightened and didn't make a sound.
So it's very ingenious of you. Have a good sleep and I'll see you in the morning. I'll grab my book and go and sit by the fire and start scribbling some things into the book.
All right, no problem. Give me a wisdom check for your watch.
A two.
All right. Okay. On your watch, you get very sort of drawn into your book, and as you're busily trying to work out, sort of like mulling through some formulas and magical equations, you see a drop of water drip onto your book. Followed by another, and then you feel one on your head.
I will close the book.
As you glance up, you notice some rather dark-looking clouds have come overhead as smaller drops begin falling down all around you.
So I will poke the fire and just try and breathe some life into it before it might get drenched.
Okay, it starts to hiss as like water begins hitting it, but your stoking effort seems to keep it going for a bit longer. The rain doesn't last too long, probably only about 10 to 15 minutes before it drops off again. And your watch comes to the end. Who would you like to wake up next?
So I will attempt to wake up Grug.
No problem, you can attempt to wake up Grug.
I'll go over and go, Grug, it's your time for watch. Evening, big fella. Are you awake?
See anything?
Rain just before, I don't know if that woke you up or not, but...
Grug is soaked. But I take it it's not the first time Grug would have slept out under the elements.
I mean, it's the only way Grug really has a shower, so...
He appears slightly cleaner.
I kept the fire going, if you want to sit by it. I'm going to get the rest of my rest now.
You rest. Grug watch.
All right.
And so I'll get up and plonk myself in front of the fire.
Alright, it's the early hours of the morning, so you've probably got a couple more hours before sunrise, and so give me your wisdom check for your watch.
12.
Grug's a tad more observant than the other two. You notice a few, you're sort of, you're very aware of, like, small critters and stuff in the surrounding area. Like, you know, you see a couple of squirrels in the trees, a few, you notice a deer off in the distance. But it's sort of like what catches your gaze and beats a hasty retreat, recognizing a predator when it sees one.
Throw an axe at it.
Yeah, sure, if you want to take off after it.
How far away is it?
From you, it's probably about 60, 70 feet away.
How much range do I have in a throw?
Yeah, you'd have disadvantage with the throw.
Yeah, I will attempt to throw a hand axe at it.
Okay, as it goes to retreat.
I'll attempt to throw a javelin at it.
Alright, as it goes to retreat, you instinctively throw your javelin.
That is a 17. Oh, it's disadvantage, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, so I roll a second one. 17. That's right. 17 plus 7 was the lowest one, so 24.
Alright, as it goes to beat a hasty retreat, you nail it in the body. There's a momentary...
For 11 damage.
Yeah, it's dead.
Grug's going to retrieve it
okay.
And start barbarian cooking it over the fire while he's keeping an eye out for other stuff.
Breakfast.
Alright, as you begin carving up the deer for roasting.
Well, pretty much I've skinned it and stuff and done it, and then I'm using the javelin as like a spit roaster.
Yeah, yeah. All right, you stoke the fire to keep it going for a bit longer, and that's the end of your watch. You're sitting around the fire as dawn, as the sun pops over the horizon, casts your campsite in a pinkish glow.
So we wake up to the smell of cooking meat. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you guys awaken to the smell of roasting meat.
Grug.
You see Grug sitting by the fire with a dismembered deer roasting over the flames.
Wow. When did you catch that?
As soon as Grug woke up.
Okay. I'm going to start pulling out a couple of loaves of bread from my rations and just carving them up. Do you want to share it with everyone? And you can have some bread as well.
I mean, at this point, Grug's already had about half the beer, so feel free.
I'm going to roll my porton rolls for the morning.
Yep, do whatever you need to do for your various class features.
5 and a 7.
Those portents, not too bad, given the fact you can change other people's rolls.
Yep. I take it we got a long rest as well.
Yeah, you got a long rest. All right. Honestly, with that, I think we're gonna finish up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, thanks for playing, guys. I hope you had a lot of fun as much as I had fun running it. Stay tuned next time for another adventure.